WNYC in New York. This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. On this episode, we'll be strolling down one of our memory lanes, a byway lined with bones and running with blood. Is my prose too purple for this season of red and green? Then I'll just say that we're devoting this week to true crime. It's all the rage.
This is a Global CalLink prepaid call from
Adnan Sayed.
No, we won't be talking about Serial. I mean, what else is left to say? It's the podcast that more than any other introduced the nation to the idea of podcasts. A gripping, thoughtful offshoot of This American Life, Serial spent 12 half hours exploring one 15-year-old murder. And it ended 2 weeks ago, leaving the nation stoked for more true crime on the radio. Until Serial, radio was maybe the last narrative platform not conquered by true crime. Certainly, it had long dominated TV and movies and long been a best-selling book genre. In fact, when we picture true crime, that's what we see.
You know, the glossy paperbacks full of crime, punishment, and ordinary people behaving badly that decorate the supermarket checkout aisle. But don't let those foil covers fool you, says Salon senior writer Laura Miller. Much true crime, she says, rises above mere pulp. And she should know. She's been a true crime aficionado since childhood. Helter Skelter, the book about the Manson killings, was Miller's entree into the genre.
I first probably read Helter Skelter when I was babysitting, which is a very important vector of introduction to true crime for young women, is when you're babysitting and you look for the dirty books and the sugary snacks. But I probably the one that really just electrified me the most was on television. It was a docudrama with Robert Stack about the Black Dahlia killer. At the very end, he looks out at the audience from the television screen and he says, "You're out there. I know you're still out there," to the killer. And it just, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And that was when I was really hooked. It was the way that this outrageous thing that they were showing you on the screen, but they wouldn't show you all of it because it was too gruesome, was connected to the real world that I inhabited. You know, like maybe the Black Dahlia killer was not just out there, but right outside my window.
And yet there's kind of a stigma attached to true crime. And I guess it's not hard to figure out why, but why don't you tell me why?
Most true crime really is pretty trashy. I mean, it's voyeuristic, it's lurid. You know, that's an earned reputation. It's just that not all of the genre has those characteristics, and there are things that the genre can do that really no other genre can. And given how much of a factor crime is in all of the entertainment that we consume, Law and Order, or you're reading detective fiction, which is pretty much the most popular form of genre fiction there is, you're just consuming a huge number of narratives that are not necessarily representative of what crime and justice and detection are like in real life.
I have read Helter Skelter about the Manson killings. I read The Onion Field, and I read Fatal Vision. None of those are prominent in my bookcases at this point. And yet, In Cold Blood sits there right prominently.
Capote is a great stylist, so it's a pretty high-class piece of work. Also, there's not a whole lot of mystery about the killing of the Clutter family, which is what Capote was writing about. But there is a mystery about why it came to be committed, because the people who committed it, they were monstrous without being entirely monsters. It's a book full of unanswered questions. I mean, that to me is what defines a great true crime book, is its willingness to accept the unanswerable about humanity and the impossibility of achieving justice.
If there's a definition of serious journalism, it's that the story matters. It has some significance to the reader beyond the lurid particulars. Is that the litmus test for differentiating good true crime from pulp?
I think that the right writer can make a particular crime matter when the wrong writer cannot. And a great example is Robert Kolker's book, Lost Girls, which is about some bodies of young women that had been found on Long Island, and no one is really sure if it's a serial killer situation. It's pretty ambiguous. Most of his book is the story of these young women and their lives and how they came to be in the situation where they were killed. Now, there's a New York Post way of telling that story, which is that they were all call girls who were working off of mostly Craigslist, and there's this scary monster, boogeyman-like figure out there. Or there's the question of how someone becomes a victim told in a way that brings in the whole social context. So that becomes something more than just a freakish, scary occurrence that you kind of goggle at. And it instead looks at it as an inevitable symptom of some aspect of our society. The stories together move our frame of mind to a fuller grasp of reality.
In addition to your other duties for Salon, you write a book column every week.
Right.
You believe that we are in a golden age of true crime. How so?
Well, some of the great books that have come out just in the past couple of years have been Raymond Bonner's Anatomy of Injustice, which is the story of a wrongful murder conviction. There is a book that's just published by a group of people at the Columbia Law School called The Wrong Carlos, which is about another wrongful conviction that resulted in an execution in Texas. There's Errol Morris's A Wilderness of Error, which is a reconsideration of the Jeffrey McDonald conviction for the murder of his family.
Possibly one of the most written about true crimes.
Yeah.
Outside of the Kennedy assassination.
It was written about by Joe McGinnis, and then Joe McGinnis was written about by Janet Malcolm, and now the whole kit and caboodle has been written about by Errol Morris.
Now, we've discussed some classics.
Yeah.
What is the ultimate desert island classic in this genre?
Oh, God, what a question. You're supposed to say In Cold Blood, which is a really magnificent piece of work, but I think I would pick A Wilderness of Error. What it really brought home to me is the way that we think that we can look at the evidence and get a definite answer, but the more you look at it, the more you see, and the more you know, the less certain you become. And that, to me, is really the best message that the best true crime delivers.
Laura, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Miller is a senior writer for Salon. Her piece on this subject is titled Sleazy, Bloody, and Surprisingly Smart in Defense of True Crime.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.